Our Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear. We believe and receive the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. We thank you, Father. We give you praise for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take your seat. Isaiah 63 verse 9, it says, "In all the affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bore them and carried them all the days of old." Now we have begun a study on human pain and suffering. Why is there evil in the world today, and why does not God do anything to stop it? Is God unbothered when we suffer? No, we said that the idea of an absentee God is foreign to the Bible. God is not absent when his people suffer. He is right there feeling their pain. God is an empath, meaning he feels pity. When an only son died in Nain, Jesus felt pity. At the funeral, he cried. So we have a God who can be touched by human suffering. He is not unbothered, indifferent when we suffer. And he desires to save and rescue. Now, pick up from there today, still looking at where is God in the midst of my pain. Now, today I want to find out the origin of evil in the world. Okay, where does evil come from? Now, to begin with, let me say categorically that evil is never sourced in God. The Bible is crystal clear on this. The Apostle John says in 1 John 1 verse 5, he says, "God is light and in him is no darkness at all." So there is nothing dark which can be found in God, nothing evil or sinful. James is more direct when he says in James 1 chapter 13, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." Underline that from "not" to "anyone." God never uses evil to test people. What comes from God is good and light. Verse 17 says, it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Concerning evil, the Bible reveals to us where it comes from. Romans chapter 5 verse 12, it says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin," underline that, "death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned," underline that as well, "because all sinned, death and all that accompanies it is a direct result of man's sin." Paul alludes to the Genesis account here. God made a perfect world at the beginning. Genesis 1 verse 31, it says, "Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good." You may underline that, "it was very good." So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. 1 Timothy 4:4 says, "Every creature of God is good." Man is placed in the midst of a finished work in Genesis. God stocks the earth with good things and gives it all to man. Genesis 1 verse 29, "And God said, See, I have given you every herb that you seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food." Notice that man is also given dominion over the earth. He was to govern the earth as God's ambassador. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion," underline "have dominion, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Now observe verse 28. The word "subdue" translates the Hebrew kabash, K-A-B-A-S-H. This word describes conquest, to keep under or dominate. It is the same word used in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 15. It says, "The Lord of hosts will defend them. They shall devour and subdue," on the line "subdue," that's that same word, "with sling stones. They shall drink and roar as if with wine. They shall be filled with blood like basins by the corners of the altar." You may see Joshua chapter 18 verse 1, 1 Chronicles 22 verse 18. While the word "dominion" translates "radah," R-A-D-A-H, which means to reign over, literally to trample upon, to subjugate. This word was used for kings in scripture. First Kings 4 verse 24, it says, "For he that is Solomon had dominion," underline dominion, that's that same word, "over all the region on this side of the river, from Tiphsah even to Gaza, namely over all the kings on this side of the river, and he had peace on every side all around him." So God gives men kingly rule and authority at the war's start. Man is to exercise control over the earth. God makes the earth but delegates the rulership of it to man. Psalm 115 verse 16. It says, "The heavens, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. All is provided for the man. Nothing is asked of man except obedience to his God." Genesis 2 verse 15. "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." Notice that God made man with a free will. He gave him instructions, but he could choose to obey or not to obey. Now, his choice would have consequences, but it would be his choice nonetheless, but not something God forced down his throat. Now, Adam and his wife Eve chose to disobey God, Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of his fruit and ate, and also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." Now death would be the consequence for this, just like God had warned in Genesis chapter 2 verse 17. Now Genesis 3 lists a series of curses which comes on the earth because of Adam's sin. Childbirth is cursed, Genesis 3 verse 16a. It says to the woman, he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children." Human relationships are cursed, Genesis 3 verse 16b. It says, "Your desire shall be for your husband, and it shall rule over you." Nature is placed under a curse. Verses 17 to 18, that same chapter. "Then to Adam he said, because you've heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I had commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground," underline that, "cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field." The curse of hardship comes upon men, verse 19, that same chapter. "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. And ultimately men will die." Verse 19b, it says, "For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." So all things evil come about because men sinned. God is not involved at all in evil. Notice also that there is another actor here. The devil. It was the devil who tempted men to sin, Genesis 3:1. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, as God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now the serpent is a metaphor used for the devil. Now from what we see about the devil, it was an angel of God who rebelled against him. 2 Peter 2 verse 4. It says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned," underline that, "the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." See Jude 6 similarly there. "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day." Cf. Matthew 25 verse 41. Now angels were initially made to serve men. They were to obey the man. Hebrews 1 verse 14. It says, "Are they," that is angels, "not all ministering spirits," underline that, "ministering spirits sent forth to minister," underline that as well, "sent forth to minister for those who inherit salvation?" But in Genesis chapter 3, we find a reversal of roles. Man is obeying the devil's words instead of the other way around. Now in doing so, man is effectively handing over his authority to the devil. The master obeys the servant, making the servant Lord. That authority that God gave man over the earth, he gives to the devil. Notice how the devil says this in Luke 4 verse 5. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me." Underline that from "this to me." "And I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." Now the word "delivered" in verse 6 translates paradidomi, P-A-R-A-D-I-D-O-M-I. The O after the accentuated, which means to abandon into one's hands, to give over into one's power. Now this is precisely what man did when he chose to obey the devil rather than God. The devil assumes a position of power on the earth, man's power. He's called the prince or the ruler of this world. John 12 verse 31, it says, "Now is the judgment of this world, now the ruler of this world, and the line that the ruler of this world will be cast out." John chapter 14 verse 30, it says, "I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world," on the line that the ruler of this world is coming, "and he has nothing in me." The prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2. It says, "In which you once walked according to the cause of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," on the line that the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience. Ephesians 6 calls him a world ruler, cosmocrator, of the darkness of this age. Verse 12, it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers," underline rulers, that's that word, "of the darkness of this age." Now that's the devil and his host, "against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenlies." The Jewish rabbis even went as far as calling him another god. So he usurps man's authority, and authority in the hands of an evil person can only bring about evil. Satan uses this power for wicked purposes. You may see Job 1:13-19, 2 verse 7. John 8 calls him a murderer, verse 44. He is responsible for all the wrong we find on the earth today. He expresses his power through sin, okay? The more men sin, the more power they give to the devil over their lives. So, why is there evil on the earth today? Simple. Because God gave man a free will, and man chose to use his free will to sin. He obeyed the devil rather than God, and by doing so, he gave his authority to the devil. The devil now uses that authority to wreak havoc on the earth. So, God is not behind evil. Actually, man is, because of sin. Now, what about Bible texts which seem to imply that God is behind evil? Now, before we examine such texts, we must know a simple truth. God is exactly like Jesus. This means that God will never say what Jesus never said. He will never do what Jesus never did. Jesus reveals God perfectly to us. He shows us God's character. John 1 verse 18, it says, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Underline that. He has declared him. Now the word "declared" translates the Greek exegeomai. E-X-E-G-E-O-M-A-I, the E after X accentuated, from whence we get our English terms exegesis and exegete. It means to make known, explain, clarify. So the unseen God is made visible in the Son. He is the image of God. Colossians 1 verse 15. It says he is the image, underlying image, of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. The word "image" translates ikon, E-I-K-O-N, the O accentuated. It means a resemblance, like a mirror reflection. Today we would say an HD projection. Ikon is an exact replication of another. Hebrews 1 verse 3 says of Jesus, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person." Underline that. The express image of his person, that is God's person, "and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." The phrase "express image" refers to an exact expression, similar in every respect. Character in the Greek. Okay, so Jesus looks exactly like God. To know what God is like, we look to Jesus. Jesus the Christ is called the Word of God. John 1:1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." 1 John 1:1. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the Word of life." Revelation chapter 19 verse 13. It says it was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Underline that. His name is called the Word of God. This means that he reveals God to us. Okay? It's the means through which man can better understand God. The Logos of God. That's what that word means. Word. Logos in the Greek. So if Jesus did evil even once, then that would mean God also does evil. So let's see Jesus' relationship with evil. What was his disposition towards evil and human suffering? Acts 10:38 provides a perfect summary of Jesus' 3 years of ministry. Okay, verse 38. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing evil, right? Who went about killing people. Who went about doing good, underline that, went about doing good and healing all, underline that, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. When Jesus walked the earth, he did not inflict people with suffering. Instead, he took away the suffering which the devil had inflicted. Jesus never caused sicknesses. Instead, he healed them. Matthew chapter 4 verse 23 as we close. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness. Underline that. Healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. Verse 24. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various sicknesses and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Underline that. He healed them. Jesus did not cause natural disasters. He stopped them. Mark 4 verse 37. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased. Underline that, the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. Underline that, there was a great calm. Jesus never caused death. He reversed death. John 11 verse 43. It says, Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, Loose him and let him go. Jesus never caused poverty. He provided. Matthew chapter 17 verse 27. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you've opened his mouth, you will find a piece of money. Underline that, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for you and me. Jesus did not cause natural crisis. In fact, he tried to save Jerusalem from our destruction. Matthew chapter 23 verse 37. It says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. Not once throughout the four Gospels do we see Jesus strike anyone with sickness or use natural disasters to destroy those who opposed him. He was loving, kind, and forgiving, just like God. Now, Jesus does all of this to show us God's character. God would never do what Jesus did not do. So this leads us now to those texts which seem to imply that God is behind evil. Now let's see a major one from the Old Testament. Amos 3 verse 6. Amos 3:6. It says, If a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? If there is calamity, underline that, calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? Underline that, from will to it. Now the word calamity means evil, bad. What causes pain and unhappiness? What is injurious? Ra in the Hebrew, R-A. Now this text appears to be in contradiction with everything we just saw in Jesus, right? Jesus never caused calamity. He never did anything that was injurious to another human being. And he reveals God to us perfectly. So this means that Amos 3:6 must be properly interpreted. Now contextually, the Israelites were living immoral lives during the time of Amos. They had continued a sinful lifestyle. Amos 2 records what they did. Verses 6 to 8. It says, Thus says the the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel, and for four I will not turn away its punishment. Because they sell the righteous for silver. Underline that. They sell the righteous for silver, and the poor for a pair of sandals. They pant after the dust of the earth, which is on the earth of the poor, and pervert the way of the humble. Underline that. Pervert the way of the humble. A man and his father go in to the same girl. Underline that. Going to the same girl to defile my holy name. They lie down by every altar on clothes taken and pledged, and drink wine of the condemned at the house of their God. Now Amos is sent by God to warn the people, because sin has consequences. To continue in sin is to allow the devil chance to cause more havoc. When man continues in sin and rejects God, it ties his hands together. It can do nothing to help when the consequences come. Now Psalm 78 talks about how Israel in unbelief limited God. Verse 41 as we close, are you following this so far? Alright, thank you. He says, yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited, underline limited, the Holy One of Israel. To limit God here means to put boundaries around his power. Tova is the word used there in the Hebrew. When men reject God, he cannot force his saving power on them. His saving power lifts, his protection lifts over his people, then evil occurs, now note this, in his absence. Now this is what Amos 3:6 describes. If there is calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? God does, in quote, calamity by the absence of his power. When men reject him in his presence, okay, his saving power leaves them, then calamity happens. Even though man gave the devil his authority, now note this, God always put his protection around his people. Do you follow that? So the devil cannot touch them. Job 1 verse 10, it says, have you not put the edge around him, underline that, from after him, around his household and around all the things that he has on every side? You've blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. The word edge, quite interesting in the Hebrew, literally means a protective fence. Suk in the Hebrew, S-U-K. So, this God does to all of mankind. Okay? He puts a protective edge around them. But when they reject him, that protection lifts. Then the devil can come in to destroy. Now, the Bible describes this usually as God hiding his face. That is, his saving presence leaves the sin. Deuteronomy 31 verse 16, and the Lord said to Moses, behold, you will rest with your fathers, and this people will rise and play the harlot with the gods of the foreigners of the land where they go to be among them, and they will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Verse 17, then my anger shall be aroused against them in that day, and I'll forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, underline that, from eye to them, and they shall be devoured, underline that, from end to devoured. You see that? He hides his face, then they are devoured. Notice, in his absence, and many evils and troubles shall befall them again in his absence, so that they will know in that day, have not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us, underline that, okay, is not among us. And I will surely hide my face in that day, underline that, from eye to day, because of all the evil which they have done, in that they have turned away to other gods. So he leaves men when they forsake him. 2 Chronicles 12 verse 5, as we close. Then Shemaiah the prophet came to Rehoboam and the leaders of Judah who were gathered together in Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said to them, thus says the Lord, you have forsaken me, and therefore I also have left you, underline that, I also have left you in the hand of Shishak. 2 Chronicles 15 verse 2. And he went out to meet Asher and said to him, hear me, Asher, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Underline that. He will forsake you or let you be. 2 Chronicles 24 verse 20, it says, then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah the son of Jehoiada, the priest, who stood above the people, and said to them, thus says God, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord, so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he also has forsaken you. Underline that. He also has forsaken you. So, Amos 3:6 is not describing what God does, but the word is absence. Note that, does. Okay, the absence of his saving power is destruction for man. We find this just a few chapters later. Amos 6 verse 8. It says, "The Lord God has sworn by himself, the Lord God of hosts says, I abhor the pride of Jacob and hate his palaces. Therefore, I will deliver up the city." Underline that. "I will deliver up the city and all that is in it." Now, the word deliver translates the Hebrew sagar, S-A-G-A-R. It means to give over to. So, God would not cause calamity in the city. It would let the city be. That's what that word means, sagar. Because they have rejected him by exercise of their free will. So, he gives them up. Do you follow that? And they are destroyed. So, in Amos 3:6 is an idiom known as the permissive voice. And the voice translation captures this well. Amos 3:6, the voice translation, it says, "Does the trumpet sound the alarm in the city without frightening the people? Does disaster come to a city unless the Eternal One has permitted it?" Underline that, has permitted it. So the calamity is caused by God's inactivity. He does nothing to stop it because man refused his help. So in this sense, it is permitted. Do you follow that? So in conclusion, Satan is largely in control of what happens on the earth, not God. This is the reason for evil today. And this is also why it seems like God cannot do much, right? Now some have asked, if God is omnipotent, why does he not just stop evil? Right? He has the power to do so. Simple. His omnipotence is limited by man's free will. Okay? His omnipotence does not mean he can do anything and everything. We've looked at this, right? Okay? It means he can do anything within his character to do. His character of love would not let him take away man's free choice. Otherwise, we would hate him, right? For forcing us to do whatever he wants. The earth is under man's control. Man has been given that authority over the earth. And man has given that same authority that God gave to him to Satan by sinning. Hence the chaos we find in the world today. So actually, man, sin, and the devil are responsible for evil on the earth today, not God. Did you learn? Lift your hands, give him praise. Thank him. We pick up from hell.